In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We come again, O Lord, to spend some time in your presence. We take up a passage of the Gospel, a passage of Scripture which we read, we listen to, we contemplate, we meditate, and we try to pray. We ask you, Jesus, to help us raise our minds and hearts to you. Give us your words, give us your example. Everything that you do and that you say are God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who has taken upon human nature, speaking to us, guiding us, teaching us, leading us to greater union with God and eternal life. We will begin our meditation this evening with a passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 4. It says as follows. And Jesus came... A bit further. It was a bit later. Now here. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. That is Simon, who we know as Peter, St. Peter. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a lonely place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Well, this is a gospel passage from today's Mass that was proclaimed in today's Mass. And on the outset, it doesn't maybe say that much. We may see there's no like amazing details, there's no incredible story. But I think there's a lot of little things that are great for our prayer. It is, in a sense, a very synthetic, very kind of simple, sketchy description of that ministry of Christ, what he did, how he served people of all kinds who were in need of salvation, need of healing, how he prayed, how Jesus, you lived with a sense of mission. Mission comes from the word being sent, missio, to be sent. I was sent for this purpose. Jesus, you were sent by the Father, God the Father, our Heavenly Father. You had such a deep sense of mission, and I also want to grow in my likeness to you. I want to I am your disciple, I have, through baptism, I have been incorporated to you, I have been given a share in your mission. And I want to learn from you. I want to imitate you, take you for my example. Jesus, when I hear these words, and I'll read some of the sentences again, when I hear them and I pray about them, I meditate them, I realize that there are some differences between you and me, of course. Here, Jesus, I read that you arose and left the synagogue, and when Simon Peter asked you to help his mother-in-law, you just stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Now, if I have a friend or a relative or anyone who has a fever, I'm probably not going to just stood there and rebuke the fever. And maybe I will, but probably not much will happen, apart from people just laughing or wondering what's going on. A guy has gone crazy. But of course I realize that what you do here and many of the other, healing miracles is very symbolic. It's very beautiful, even though it's such a simple description, but we know many of the healing miracles of Christ. You came, Jesus, you are showing on the one hand your divinity, your power over illnesses. And we know from other places of scripture that this human tendency to get sick, this weakness, and which is kind of a step towards physical death, a process of kind of our mortality. All of that is related to our sin, not our personal sins necessarily, but our state, that human state of consequences of original sin, our need for healing, our need for redemption. And you do both things. There are some miracles, Jesus, where you say to someone that my son or my daughter, your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. It's the same word, saved or healed. We, in English or Finnish, whatever, we have different words for them, but the same word. It's very symbolic. And of course, as God, you have power over both things. You have the ability to rebuke a fever or to rebuke demons, to heal our physical body or to heal our soul. And although, Jesus, I don't have personally that authority, I don't have that divine nature, nevertheless, you give me some share, some participation in that mission. You ask me also to be generous with other people and go out. Sometimes, of course, I can't imagine myself being so generous as Jesus, you were. When the sun was setting, you had all these people, sick people, being carried to you, and you laid your hands on them and healed them. And some of those healings were just physical ones, you know, just the body. In some cases, also demons came out because there was some spiritual liberation that needed to happen. And it seems that you are serving there the whole night. Because when it was day, he departed and went into a lonely place, praying. Spend some time in prayer after a whole night of ministry, a whole night of working, helping others. Of course, Jesus, my mission in this world is somewhat different. Especially if I'm in the middle of the world, I'm studying for whatever profession or specialization, and it is not my vocation maybe to spend entire nights, you know, attending to people who need liberation from demons. Maybe it is my vocation to attend entire nights for people who just need, you know, consolation, sick people. If I'm a nurse, for example, then I can identify with that, that beautiful mission of, you know, just being close to the sick and praying for them and bringing at least consolation. I don't have that divine authority to be able to heal them, but I can bring those people and their names to the Holy Mass. I pray for them. I offer them to God and also their, maybe their sufferings. I ask God to make their sufferings also and their pain truly redemptive, that they would be more united to Christ, more united to God through those sufferings. What a great mission I have. Well, maybe my mission is different. Maybe I'm still, you know, looking for it and searching for it. Lord, what do you want me to do in this world of yours? There's so many things to do, so many needs around me. Maybe you don't have, Jesus, maybe you don't have any very specific mission for me in mind, but you just want me to be a faithful Christian, someone who looks after their fellow, their colleagues or friends and fellow students and family members, and who leaves out that charity and tries to communicate Christian doctrine and tries to draw them closer to God. It's good that we think about that. We should think about it often, but especially in this time, as the new academic year is beginning. It's a time in which maybe we have many opportunities to meet new people. We are in new surroundings. We are with new people in school or university. And how can I serve? How can I be more useful? Jesus, you have, in a sense, you have the right to ask me, how are you trying to help the people around you? How do you transmit to others the good that you yourself have received? I know, Jesus, sometimes I have this temptation that I'm very grateful for the faith that I have. I'm very grateful also for the sacraments and all the joy and peace that they bring. But then I end up a bit, you know, burying the talent, burying that treasure. This is just for me. And of course, then, Jesus, I look at your example and I read about it in the Gospel, and I notice that that's not the way you lived. You didn't come into the world and then just, you know, enjoy the time. I'm sure you had a lot of good time also with the disciples. You had a good laugh sometimes. You ate a good meal, like in that series, The Chosen. You know, maybe you have seen some of those episodes. It's a very nice depiction of Jesus, and he's really joyful and friendly, and he's really a friend to the people, and he enjoys this life. And that's great. We want to do the same. But never like just interested in ourselves, our own things. No. Turning outward for other people. And sometimes we may be insecure, you know, we don't know, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I don't want anyone to know because, oof, what will they say, what will they think? Well, maybe, but sometimes it helps just to turn it around completely. Like, it's a way of serving others, you know. Maybe there are many of them who are not very interested, but how do I know if I never give them a chance? How will I know who is interested and who is open? It's interesting in this Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, a bit before, there's this funny, this other episode in which Jesus goes to the synagogue and he begins to read from the Bible, from the prophet Isaiah, and he quotes these words of the prophet: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then Jesus closes wraps up the scriptures and says that today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But then there's this funny description here in the text that first everyone spoke well of him, and they were wondering at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But then just moments later, they begin to complain and they try to push Jesus away down the hill. But he goes away. He just passes through them and went away. I don't know what the explanation is. Why does it change so quickly? But maybe it's also a reminder for us that, well, the people around us, they may have all sorts of reactions, you know. And they may be, you know, unconstant and have all sorts of, you know, motivations. And there are some people who are very supernatural, you know, very spiritual, who are interested, and others who just are very closed. Lord, what do you ask of me? In all these, with all these people, will you ask me to be generous? That's the main thing, to be generous. Saint Jose Maria writes in this book, The Way, there are all these kind of points for meditation. He writes about the sower, you know, the parable of the sower who went out. And he comments, "Scatter the seed, apostolic soul. The wind of grace will bear it away if the furrow where it falls is not worthy. So, and be certain that the seed will take root and bear fruit." Scatter the seed, that means throw out the seed in all directions to all sorts of people. Don't think too much. Don't be too careful, too prudent, too cautious. Listen where you are. Might there not be one or two who could understand us well? Who could understand us, you know, us. Who is that us? Well, it depends. It may be as Christians or as Catholics. Or he's writing these words especially to first members of Opus Dei. In any case, don't think too much about, like, oh, maybe this person doesn't understand me, maybe this other person doesn't understand me. Rather, might there be someone who understands? Tell him. Tell Jesus that I need. Oh, sorry, I said wrongly. Tell him, yes, that one, that I need 50 men who love Jesus Christ above all things. This is a reminder of, there were some words, I think, of St. John Henry Newman. He was a great saint in England in the 19th century. And I think he used to say that something like, give me 10 people who are truly in love with Christ and I will convert the whole of London. Well, maybe it's a bit exaggeration, but then again, finding 10 people who are really in love with God, It's quite a thing, you know. And in fact, here in this oratory, we are basically around that number. Let's ask God that he would really give that fire of faith and fire of love in our hearts to make it grow. to make it develop so that it can set fire on others. Before we finish our prayer and meditation, let's just listen to a few words from St. Paul. These are also from today's Mass. Maybe you went to Mass this morning, I don't know. But we heard this from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's in the very beginning. Paul writes there to that tiny community of Christians, just the very first Christians there in this city. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing. So among yourselves, from the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Well, Paul is writing there, he's enthusiastic about the tiny community that has received the gospel through this man. I think it's a man, Epaphras. At least I don't know anything about him. I don't know if anyone knows much about him. And that's also beautiful, because it's like he played a great role in the early church. And there were many others. We usually think of St. Paul, you know, St. Peter, but there were many, many others, men and women. Most of them we will only meet in heaven. And we want to be like them, part of that great chain of transmitting the word of Christ, transmitting, inviting, drawing others to that love of Christ, to that knowledge, personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask you to make us truly partakers of this mission. In the whole world, this word of truth is bearing fruit and growing. Well, even in our time, even in each one of us, you and I, and we ask God to bless this seed, which sometimes seems very small. Maybe we think our own faith is small. Maybe we think that the community where we are is small, whatever. But if it is from God, and we are united to God, then by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is indeed bearing fruit and growing until the end of the world. Let's ask also the Blessed Mother of God, Mary Most Holy, to pray for us too, and to bless all our apostolic efforts, our apostolic mission, to bless our friends, bless also our family members, bless our colleagues, that by God's grace we may help them, that we may be instruments of God in drawing them closer to Him. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.